Merry meet. My name is Ariel, and this is A Witch's Primer, basic training in non-denominational witchcraft. Join in the discussion at thedcw.999.org. That's thedcw.999.org. Blessed be. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're having a great week. As usual, we'll get to a few questions first, and then we'll get right into today's lesson. Ryan says that I mentioned that some witches will continue to cycle through the weeks of the first four bodies again and again. What do you think of alternatives to that, which would still maintain the balance and care of these four bodies? All right, so the way I answer that is that you just don't want to pile a whole lot of workload on yourself every day. Make sure that you can maintain, 20 minutes is all you should really require of yourself. If you want to do that more than that every day, fine, but don't require more than 20, maybe 30 minutes a day of regular practice. When I say cycling through the pyramid, what I mean is just that you can, if you notice that there's one or two or even three sides of the pyramid that are less strong than another, let's say that your fire body or your air body or whatever doesn't seem as strong as the other sides of your pyramid, then you may want to cycle through those weeks again just to keep everything in balance. The name of the game here, as always, is balance, and we want to try to maintain or at least obtain as much balance as we possibly can. Hopefully that answers your question. It's a good question too. Let's see. Galen says, I was working on the elements meditation, and in the middle of the water part, I ran into this really annoying block. I can't go below the surface. I've always considered myself a water person, but my hands get clammy when I'm looking down into the water and seeing how deep it is. Even in the meditation, I'm overwhelmed by the fear of sinking and not being able to swim back to the surface. I don't know if it's some past life issue or what, because I've never had a bad encounter with water in this lifetime. Okay, that's a good question. This is very common, by the way, Galen. It's not uncommon. It's very normal to be afraid of drowning. That's a basic human instinct is to be afraid of deep water, because that's, it's basic to our self-preservation. What you may want to do is, if you're having a hard time with a meditation, is you may want to, if you're having a hard time, you may want to actually go back to it after you've done your five weeks of building your power base, and then try again and see if that in itself didn't ease that for you. Another thing you might want to do is just to keep reminding yourself, both before going into and during the meditation, that this is mental, and that it will be easy to breathe underwater, and that you're perfectly safe, and that you can think yourself back out of the water at any time. You might want to keep reminding yourself that we are not dealing with physical water, we are dealing with etheric water in these meditations, and that might help you. Don't worry too much about it. If it's still hard for you to do it, I would just omit that meditation for the time being and try going back to it here and there. But there's so many other things you can do. I wouldn't really worry about working through your deepest fears regarding water, because that's not what the whole idea of that elemental meditation is for. So I hope that helps you a little bit. Let's see. Let's pull up another question here. I had a question about the spirit body. Okay, this is from Ryan. Hi, Ariel. I have a question. I've been feeling a pain in my third eye while doing the rainbow power meditation. It helps to not hold my breath, but I can still feel it. While grounding and centering, I feel everything as expected in my aura, except for the energy shooting out of the top of my head. Grounding and centering does not cause me any pain. It makes me wonder if there's some sort of energy blockage at my third eye. I can feel the crown center during the rainbow power meditation, though. Do you have any ideas on what might be happening or what to do? Okay, that's a good question. It's not uncommon, and I go over the stuff on the forum, but I'm just reiterating it here on the podcast for those of you who are maybe not on the forum or didn't read these posts. It's not uncommon when working with these energy centers to feel a pressure at the third eye. But pain is never desirable. We never want to feel pain. That's not the idea of this. Pain or strain is not good practice. So what I would recommend is always, as with everything, go for the most mundane possible thing first. You may have like a sinus infection. You may be having hay fever. You may have, you may not have been getting enough rest. You may not be well hydrated enough. You may be coming down with something. Those kinds of things. Make sure that the mundane aspects of your world are taken care of first. After that, I would recommend that maybe you do what you had suggested and you were describing is go through the meditation just as a visualization exercise without doing any of those breath control techniques, just visualizing each energy center in turn and see if that doesn't ease the discomfort. If you're still feeling discomfort, I might recommend that you just omit this meditation for a while. Go back to doing some basic things like the grounding, centering, orb of light, definitely spiritual purification exercises, and maybe just memorize the balancing of the bodies. You know, the spirit body, the fire body, the water body, air body. Memorize that first part of the meditation and run that for a while without actually running energy through the centers of your body. And then come back to it and see if that doesn't fix it for you. If not, as always, just get a hold of us and we will troubleshoot our way through this. I know we can. All right. Let's see if there's something else in here. I think that takes care of a lot of the main questions. If you've forgotten one of your questions, please let me know and I will get right to it. All right, so you've been working with some basic spell casting and we're going to start now trying to refine how you work. And the first thing that we want to do is talk about the timing of your spells. All right, and all of the... a lot of the support material that we're talking about here will be found in the support material that you can find on our forum. And again, that forum is thedcw.999.org. Okay, so today we're going to talk about, like I said, timing. And before we go into any specifics about this, I want to... just understand why we deal with timing. Just like as a farmer would never attempt to plant out of season, so it is with spell casting. Now, need always supersedes everything. If you need something, if something is important and it needs to be taken care of, don't worry about the phase of the moon or the day of the week. Just go for it. Just like the very first spells, we didn't even think about timing. So you can get around it, but to fine tune it, it's better to go with the magical tides that are always present. All right. So first of all, let's talk about the moon. In order to locate the positions of the moon and other planets, I advise that you purchase an astrological calendar such as you can find published by Llewellyn or Jim Maynard, I think, still has one. And I think The Witch's Almanac has that also in it. I haven't been reading that for the past few years, but I'm pretty sure it does as well. So the moon, just like the sun and the planets in our solar system, appears to rise in the east and set in the west. So when the sun and moon are rising and setting together at the same time, what the astrologers would call this conjunct, the moon is invisible to our eye. And in the craft, in the way that I teach the craft, we call this the dark moon. Now, to astrologers and astronomers, they call this the new moon, and a lot of witches call this the new moon, but we call it here the dark moon. This may sound confusing at first, but you'll get used to it. Don't worry. What we call the new moon is actually a couple days after the dark moon, when the moon appears as a visible tiny crescent setting in the west just after the sun is setting. So usually about two to three days after the dark moon, you can see a visible crescent moon, and that's what we call the new moon. The moon rises about 58 minutes later every night than the previous night. So this means that approximately 1 week after that dark moon, the moon will be directly overhead as the sun is setting, appearing as a half moon rounded on the right. So this is completing what we would call the first quarter of the moon, from dark to that half moon above the sky. Okay, and about a week after this half moon, this is going to be 2 weeks after the dark moon, the moon will be rising right as the sun is setting. At this phase, the sunlight is reflected completely off the face of the moon, and it appears as a full moon in the sky. And we call it the full moon. So the full moon would complete the second quarter of the moon. So the first quarter is from dark to that first half moon, about a week. Then about a week after that, the moon is full. And so that's the second quarter, from that first half moon to the full moon. All right, so that's the first half of the entire lunar cycle, is those two quarters. This entire two-week phase from dark moon to full moon is known as the waxing moon. And this is called the waxing moon because of the fact that the moon appears to increase or wax in size, waxing from dark to light. So as always, like we've said, the moon rises about 58 minutes later every night, so that about a week after the full moon, the moon will rise in the east right in the middle of the night. And it appears once more as a half moon, but this time it's rounded on the left side. This is completing the third quarter of the moon. So just under a week after completing that third quarter, the moon appears as a tiny little crescent with its horns pointing to the right and rising just prior to sunset. And the old term for this is the old moon. The old moon, that little tiny crescent with the horns pointing to the right. A day or two after the old moon, then the entire 28-day cycle is completed as the moon returns to the dark, a dark moon once again. And that ends the fourth quarter of the moon. Hopefully this makes a little sense. If not, just keep re-listening to this. Okay, that period of time between the full moon and the dark moon is referred to as the waning moon. And that's because the appearance of the moon is decreasing or waning in size. All right, so just understanding the moon cycle will start to give you an insight into our monthly witches' cycle. Now, women are very intimately aware of the lunar cycle, but men are as well, especially men who perform magic. So men and women both need to be intimately connected to this lunar cycle, because this is how we will be working our magic. Okay, so before we get into too much of that, let's just go over some basic steps to timing your spells. There's a series of steps that I would recommend that a person take to determine the perfect time to cast your spell. The first most important one is the phase of the moon, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The second step would be called the day of the week, and that's something else that we're going to talk about in a minute. The third most important thing after that, and these are in order of importance. The first most important thing is moon phase. Second most important thing after that would be the day of the week. After that would be the time of day or the planetary hour. And then after that, you could even go into looking at the sign of the moon if you wanted to get really technical. And after that, you might even look at other astrological considerations, such as aspects between planets and things like that. But mostly, the first thing, the moon phase, is the primary importance. But the day of the week would be another good one after that. And then maybe after that, the planetary hour. Those three things are the things that you're going to probably most often concern yourself with, the moon phase being the most important. You can forget about everything else other than the moon phase if you have to. Then after that, like I said, the day of the week and the planetary hour. Let's talk about the moon phase first. Spells cast during the waxing moon primarily are those that deal with increase and expansion, whereas spells that are cast during the waning moon deal with decrease in introspection, or also release. For instance, a spell to meet a new lover might be cast during the waxing moon. During the waning moon, a spell to banish depression might be appropriate. The moon phase, like I said before, is the single most important factor that you got to get around. Okay, so if you wanted to divide it in looking at the moon phases in the quarters, the first quarter you might do brand new projects, germinations, new beginnings, that kind of thing. Second quarter, growth, cultivation, achievement, completion. Third quarter is harvest, kind of taking profit, kind of thing. Starting to weed out old ideas. The fourth quarter, definitely weeding out old ideas, pulling away, releasing, reflecting, banishing. Okay, the new moon is always about new beginnings. The full moon is always about full power of completion. And the full moon is your most powerful day to do spell work. The dark moon is the second most powerful day to do things. The new moon is the third most powerful day to do things. And the old moon would be the fourth most powerful day to do things. So the new moon, like I said, the visible crescent would be new beginnings. The full moon would be completion. The old moon would definitely be banishing and cutting away of unwanted situations. The dark moon would be total release and purge. Okay? So hopefully that makes a little sense. The next thing you might want to deal with is the day of the week. And the days of the week, like I said, are listed in the supplement, but we'll go through them real quick. Sunday is sacred to the sun, and that deals with solar kinds of operation. Faith, money, fame, friendships, authority, protection, generosity, ambitions, health, masculine. It's the sun. Its colors are gold, white, and yellow. Monday, the moon has to deal with the home, peace, children, psychic development, pregnancy, protection, emotions. This is all in your, you don't have to take notes. This is all in your handout. Increase and decrease, healing, nourishment, and it's feminine. Its colors are white, silver, black, and blue. Tuesday is Mars, deals with courage, energy, willpower, drive, ambition, war, sex, revenge, enterprise, fast results, overcoming enemies and overcoming inner enemies as well. Its colors are red, orange, and crimson. Wednesday, Mercury deals with business, the mind, divination, influence, mental energy, tests, studies, schooling, short trips, communication, gambling, and luck. It uncovers theft, finds lost articles. Its colors are yellow, violet, and silver. Thursday is sacred to Jupiter. It deals with expansion, honor, wealth, position, legal matters, real estate. And that's another one that's it's actually more important than Mercury for gambling and good luck. It also is for making investments and businesses grow. So it's for growth. Its colors are purple, royal blue, and gold. Friday deals with Venus. It has to do with beauty, love, romance, friendship, creativity, art, poetry, dance, music, friendship, marriage, attraction, harmony, joy, all that kind of stuff. Its colors are green, pink, and coral. Saturday is sacred to Saturn, and it deals with the occult and business, foundation, karma, lessons, secrets, reversings, bindings, separations, caution, prudence, discipline, debt, systems, endurance, justice. And its colors are black, brown, and gray. So when you do your spell, you want to figure out which day of the week or which planet is you're working with on that spell. For instance, if you're doing a money spell, it would probably either be with Jupiter or with the sun, depending on how you were what your money was all about. If you needed expanding something that was already there, then you'd want to use Jupiter. But if you needed new money, you'd probably want to go with the sun. If you needed to do a house blessing, you'd probably want to do it on a Monday. If you needed to quick energy, you'd probably do that on a Tuesday. If you needed to get better grades, you'd probably want to do that on a Wednesday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My recommendation to getting used to all of this stuff is to take one or more weeks and do a planet week. And what you would do is you would take a whole week, and each day you would where the colors of that planet, you would meditate on that planet in your morning meditation and understand what that planet is. You might want to find what the glyphs for each of those planets are. Those are very readily available online, and use that as sort of like an object of meditation. You may even want to use some of the essential oils as perfumes that are sacred to those planets. Or even easier is if you have this is something that anybody can do, is just if you're into cologne or perfumes, you know, commercial perfumes, you can get a collection of 7 different colognes or perfumes that you feel exemplify those 7 planets, and wear that as your perfume each day or when you're working that spell. For instance, Sunday, you may want to use something that's got a lot of sandalwood in it. Monday, something that's got a lot of, you know, maybe a lot of fruit smells or a lot of, watery kind of smells. Tuesday, something really spicy. Wednesday, something that's got obvious lavender in it. Thursday, you'd probably want to do something that's got a lot of, a lot of woodiness, you know, woody green, cedar type smells are great for Thursday. Friday, obviously your florals and your musks and your passionate kind of sexual colors. I mean, colors, fragrances. Saturn, all of your leather scents would be great. Anything that's got civet in it as a note. And all of your perfumes, the notes are readily available, online or a lot of times, when you go to the department store, you can say, what are the basic notes, and you can figure it out, or just smell it on a card and say, what does this remind me of? You know, 'cause that's what's most important, is what does this remind me of? Is this more Mercury or is this more Moon? Does that make sense? So try that with it. Wear those colors one day a week. Wear, you know, like on a Sunday, wear the golds and all of that. The Monday, wear the silvers and the whites and the grays. On a Tuesday, wear the reds and the oranges and the crimsons. On a Wednesday, wear the yellows and the silver and the violet. Thursday, wear your blues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And do the right kind of perfume if you have it. Don't worry about it. You know, if nothing else, if you don't have the perfumes, then just try to do your best to meditate on each planet every day, so that you start to get a sense of what these planetary energies mean and get a very intimate understanding of what these planets mean. Because working with the planetary energies and the days of the week, along with the phase of the moon, is going to be the most powerful thing you can do. Now, the next thing you can do is look at the planetary hour. Now, on the website, on the forum, I have a link to some wonderful websites that do the calculations of the planetary hours for you, which is much easier than having to go through these calculations yourself. But what you can do is remember that when you start a spell is what's important. So let's say you're doing like a 3-day spell. If it's for increase in business, as long as you start it on a Thursday, then it's going to continue having the energy of Jupiter, even though you're doing it for 2 more days after that. What you can do with the planetary hour is you can really make it a Jupiter spell if you did it on a Thursday in a Jupiter hour, or if you wanted to have a Jupiter-Sun combination, you could do it on a Thursday, which would be the primary planetary energy, and you could do it on a Sun hour so that you could also have the solar influence in your spell. And then, of course, obviously, when you're working these spells, you want to, and we're going to talk more about the trappings and the candles and all that stuff later. But when you use things like herbs and gems and oils and powders and candles, you'd want to incorporate both Jupiter and solar influences in how you work your spell. Hopefully that makes some sense. So have some fun with this. Just get used to the phases of the moon. Become very in tune with where the moon is. And second, become very in tune with what the day of the week is and what that means to you, what that planet represents. And do everything that you can to evoke that sense of what those energies are. By using the right colors and the right perfumes, you know, like I said, drawing the glyphs, drawing the little symbols and meditating on those and the keywords and things like that, just really, really become very in tune with each one of these things, the moon phases and the planetary days of the week. After that, you can also, if you want to, look at what the moon sign is. And that can be very helpful as well, you know. And in the supplement, I give you some background on what each of the moon signs can mean. And again, the moon sign is something that you do after everything else. That's it's not that it's not important. It's just not as important as the phase of the moon and the days of the week and the planetary hour. All right. So hopefully that is interesting. This is something for you to start to incorporate in your spell casting, but also just in your daily practice to get used to, if you don't already, following what these cycles are, following the lunar cycle and following the weekly planetary cycle. And we will get into the solar cycle a little bit later. I hope you have a wonderful week. As always, it is a pleasure to spend time with you. Love and many blessings.